You're listening to the West End Frame Show.
Hello and welcome to the West End Frame Show. I'm your host and West End Frame editor, Andrew Tomlins, and today I'm joined by an incredible co-host who we know him for his work on both sides of the pond. So let's start with Broadway. So his Broadway credits include playing Stephen in If Then, he was Ronnie in Curtains, Fred in Chicago, he covered Willie Lopez in Ghost, Howard in Finian's Rainbow, and he was in Catch Me If You Can. After moving to London, he played Benny in the Heights at the King's Cross Theatre, and then he originated the role of Curtis in the West End premiere of Dreamgirls at the Savoy Theatre. He left London for Paris and then moved to LA, which is where he was when we did an episode of In the Frame last year on Zoom. And there's so much other stuff that I haven't mentioned. He's in a whole bunch of US regional theatre. He was a dancer on NBC's Smash, best thing ever. He's writing, he's directing, he's making stuff happen. But he's spent the past couple of months back in London. He did a sneaky little workshop or something very exciting. And then he starred in Steve at the newly opened Seven Dials Playhouse. So a very warm welcome to the West End Frame Show, Joe Aaron Reed.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You've got this lovely, calming influence already. I'm in the zone.
Great, we love that.
I'm going to be professional today. How are you doing? You just wrapped up in
I'm doing great.
Steve, so
yeah.
It's a gear shift.
Yeah, it's, you know, anytime you close a show that you've worked very hard on, you know, it's hard. You kind of create a baby and then you kind of let it go. But it's been such a wonderful moment in time and it's been fantastic to be back in London. So, yeah.
Was it exciting? Was this your first play?
This was my very first play ever. which is,
ever.
I know. Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I'm older and, you know, it's one of those things like people think they have to be something by the time that they're something. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old you get. New things can come your way. So, yeah, it's been a very, very exciting journey.
And did it live up to what you were expecting?
Yeah, you know, it's very different because the majority of shows I've been in have been big shows, you know, big musicals. And the majority of those have been, you know, big proscenium stages, you know, fourth wall, the audience is there, we're here. And this was 100 seats. It was very kind of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Intimate.
Yeah, it's just intimate, yes.
Yeah.
And we had some, you know, tables on the stage, so it was just... Everyone was in it, and it didn't allow you this kind of opportunity that a lot of proscenium actors take, which is, you know, you can kind of get away with, you know, doing things that you wouldn't necessarily want people to see on stage.
What are you doing?
You know, always a consummate professional. And so, yeah, it was, you really just had to kind of live and breathe in it all the time because you had kind of people everywhere. It was great.
And I mean, you had this most incredible cast. Obviously, I came, you know, Jenna Russell and David, I mean, all these people to watch them in this space.
Yeah.
It was so special. But yeah. talk to me about Jenna Russell, especially.
She's great. And it's funny because I didn't know her or know of her when I was living here. And so when I heard she was going to do the show, I thought, oh, I'm surprised I don't know her. So, you know, of course, I'm Googling and seeing who she is. And I was like, wow. I mean, she's quite accomplished. and she's a dream. She's a dream to work with both professionally and personally. You know, and I told her this, but you never know what you're going to get when you work with people that have kind of done as much as she's done, because I've worked with people that are, you know, big names, and some of them can be a bit standoffish. Others can be a bit egotistical. She is just warm and welcoming and doesn't take herself too seriously, but the work is just amazing. To watch her work is amazing, and to get to work with her is incredible, and she's just fun. We laughed a lot, so she's, yeah. I would highly recommend working with Jenna Russell.
I'm in. She's great to chat to. I've done interviews with her over the years.
Oh, have you?
She's so, yeah.
She's
so
just
special.
Warm and lovely and... Yeah.
And to watch her, to watch her and to watch you all in that intimate space, it was so cool the way you had the Revolve.
Yeah.
And like you say, there was the cabaret table, so yeah. It was very exposing.
Yeah.
But did it feel different?
Oh, it was great. It,
Did it feel good?
I think it was, it felt amazing. I think I had in my mind what it was going to be. And then you get out there and you're like, oh, so this is what it is. Oh, okay, I like this. So it felt, it felt like I didn't realize I would love it so much. And I really, really did.
And you weren't having to warm up your voice.
We didn't even have to do a group warm up, which was oh for London.
Gosh.
I was like, you mean I get to just do what I need to do myself? It was great.
Well, let's explain. So in the US, right, you don't, company warm ups aren't a thing, right?
No. Mm-mm. So we have, in the US, we have just half hour. You know, our shows are at 8. So you get there by 7:30.
Which is crazy.
I quite like it because, you know, everyone kind of needs something different. You know, if I'm doing a musical, I need to warm up my voice. I don't need to warm up everyone else's voices. And if I have to dance, like, I need to do what I need to do for that. But now that, you know, I lived here and did those group warm-ups, I see the benefit of them. It is nice to see everyone and kind of connect before going to do what you do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are times when I would be working in New York, I would see someone on the street and they'd be like, hi. And I'd be like, hi. But I wasn't, they were in my show, but I wasn't used to seeing them without a wig on. So here it's nice to kind of have that moment where you do get to connect as yourselves before having to put on the wigs and the makeup and the, yeah.
Talking of wigs, did you see that clip this week of what happened?
Oh, yes,
on
Tina.
Broadway? Oh, my gosh. I don't even know her name. I haven't prepared, but did you see she was doing, was it River Deep Mountain High?
Something.
Rolling, yeah.
Yeah.
And she did the head move and her wig came off and she picked it up and she threw it off.
That's right.
And then she carried on.
Had a girl.
It was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
It was the best
Amazing.
Thing ever. So talk to me about coming back to London and you said you might have some exclusive news to share with West End friends.
Well, you know, I live in LA and I love living in LA. I mean, the lifestyle there is amazing. The weather is amazing and, you know, you get the beach and the desert and the mountains and the city and the suburbs. You kind of get everything. And one thing in LA, though, is you have to drive everywhere. And I've always liked driving and I still like driving, but I've been there for about 2 years. I've been in 4 car accidents.
You're joking.
No, it's just, there's so much traffic and it just people. Yeah. And I think there are a lot of, emotions are running high, you know? And so I think people are just angry and need to get to where they're going.
But you were okay after?
I was okay, yeah. And luckily, every single time I was by myself.
Because
obviously you worry with your kids. And but then I got back to London, and my first thought was, wow, it's cold here. and then, you know, I'm walking around the streets, and I'm feeling the energy of the city again. And it just, my heart warmed. I felt like it grew. It was just such a great feeling to be back and kind of roaming these streets where I feel like I kind of made my mark.
Theatre Land really embraced you over here.
They really did. And that's something that you know, you don't forget. And so getting for Seven Dials to have flown me over to do the show, I was very grateful. And then just being here, it has really opened my eyes to kind of, and I think for all of us, you know, those listening have survived a global pandemic. The pandemic put us in a place of, what do you want out of life? Like, what is it you're looking for? And coming back, it just made me realize I miss London so much. London did embrace me and has continued to embrace me throughout the years. And so I am currently working on my visa to come back.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think it'll be a nice move for me. Especially because now since I left, you know, I went to LA because I wanted to do more film and TV. And of course, a pandemic happened and, you know, but now there's so much stuff filming here. So I thought to myself, well, if I can have like such a big theater scene and a big film and television scene and in a place that has embraced me, why not? So that's the plan. Yay.
That's like. You had it here first.
Yes.
And yeah, what do you, because your kids, they've been all over, haven't they?
Like, they really have.
They got to live in Paris. Yeah. What's their favorite?
Well, it's hard because they were so young when a lot of it happened. And, you know, I try and ask them, do you remember, you know, this park or do you remember? And they're like, no, not so much. But they said to me that they would live in London again. And, you know, it is in a, although they can't remember it per se, I think that they'll get on well here. Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. So lots more shows to come.
Yes, I hope. Please. If you're working casting, hit me up.
Joe's going to be available.
Spotlight number.
Are you ready to get down on stagey with me, Joe?
Yeah, let's do it.
Should we do it?
Come on.
So coming up, we are going to be discussing But I'm a Cheerleader, The Tempest and Cock, as well as all the latest news about Six, Sister Act, Legally Blonde and lots more. Okay, so first up, let's talk about some of this week's theatre news.
Okay.
And we heard casting for Legally Blonde at the Regent's Park Open Air Theatre.
Yeah.
And this is directed by Lucy Moss, who co-wrote and directed Six, who is obviously out here doing amazing things. She knows what she stands for.
Yeah.
Diversity, body image, gender, like she's, you know, I knew she wasn't going to let us down here.
Yeah.
So I think Legally Blonde is one of those shows that's always been cast quite a specific way.
Sure.
So anyway, we found out that Courtney Bowman, who was in Six, who was in Everybody Talking About Jamie, is going to lead the cast as Elle Woods.
It's pretty amazing.
Do you know, she's one of the funniest people.
I don't know her.
She is one of the funniest people, and she was Anne Boleyn in Six. She was absolutely hilarious, and so she doesn't, you know, she doesn't look like this, you know, Reese Witherspoon or the traditional L, you know, whatever that means. But you know, I think she is gonna run with this. She is gonna show us different things, and you don't need it. Sheridan Smith, who originated L in London,
yes.
She got slated by the New York Times because they called her, I think they called her like frumpy or something, and she's not frumpy. She's stunning, but she wasn't your kind of stick there necessarily. Kind of, she's not that ditzy blonde. She kind of was almost, in her performance, it worked so well. I think Londoners embraced it so much because she had a kind of a glisten in her eye.
Sure.
It was like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, almost taking the mick a little bit.
Sure.
And that worked. It worked so well for that British audience. So I think Courtney can do so much.
Oh, I think it's going to be a completely new take on it and fresh. And, you know, I did the workshop of Legally Blonde, so I didn't go on to do it out of town or on Broadway because roles got kind of moved around.
What were you, do you remember what you were doing then?
So I was in the ensemble, but I had I was the whatcha wanna be up because the sun's too warm. It was DJ Shaggy then. It ended up going. It's DJ Chad.
Yeah.
Because it ended up going to Andy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm very excited to kind of see this new kind of fresh take on it. Because I think, too, you know, that movie when it came out and that musical when it came out, it was a very different time. Yeah. And so I think it will bring, you know, the idea of representation matters, right? I think it's showing that it doesn't have to be, you know, even if movies were made way back when, it doesn't have. We don't have to stick to that. There's no reason that we have to stick to that, especially if you're trying. And I find often now in revivals and things, if you're trying to make something old fresh, you need to make it fresh. We don't want just the same old.
No.
You know. So I think it's a very exciting venture, and I hope that I get back to see it.
Oh, it's running from the 13th of May to the 2nd of July. So yeah, I have faith. Yeah, so many amazing people. Vanessa Fisher's Vivian, Isaac Hasketh is Margot, Nadine Higgin, who covered Paulette in Town. I think she played the judge in the original West End production.
Oh, okay.
And she was the, you know, the shopkeeper.
Yeah,
Courtney,
yeah.
Take
your
break.
Yeah.
She's playing Paulette, which is the best thing ever. And big congrats to everybody. I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
To see it. So Lucy Moss, busy, busy person, because we also found out some exciting news about Six this week. So Six, obviously, taking over the world. Now, the original West End company of the show are reuniting for three special performances at Hampton Court Palace.
That's awesome.
This summer. So the shows are going to take place in a 3,000-seat auditorium against the backdrop of Henry VIII's Tudor Palace.
It's amazing.
I mean, you could not get better.
It's amazing.
Of them reclaiming their story.
Totally.
These queens. If he knew. So we have Jarnelia, Millie, Natalie, Alexia, Amy, and Maya all coming back to the show. And I mean, to think that they first did it, you know, on tour at Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
Came to the Arts Theatre for a little bit, and then they obviously extended. You know, for them to come back now, with all of this having happened,
it's totally
blowing up on Broadway and on cruises and internationally everywhere, it's going to be so special.
Oh, it's pretty major. And I also think it's, you know, such a testament to the little engine that could. You know, not everything has to come from a book. Not everything has to come from a movie. You can create something that is new and small and special and watch it soar. So I think it's super exciting. And what a great opportunity for the original cast to come back and, you know, regroup together and do the whole thing. I think it's great. And I love Hampton Court Palace. I mean, it's...
Have you been?
Oh, yeah. Stunning.
See, I haven't even been as an adult.
Oh, have it? Well, you know, we took our kids there.
Right.
And so there's a whole, like, you know, water kind of park thing attached to it, so it's a little bit of both for adults and for kids.
Right,
so
right,
it was
right.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Have you? I wonder if that auditorium is always there. If there is a kind of a space for it, or if it's being done specifically for this.
When I was there, I don't remember a theater. I feel like a 3,000 seat theater, I would have noticed.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I would have.
A stage.
I mean, they've certainly got the lawn for it.
Yeah, they have the space.
Yes.
They have the space. So tickets are on sale now. I may have got mine.
Okay.
And they're going fast. But I wonder, you know, having these six queens back together, I wonder if they'll maybe film it.
I would hope so.
I wonder,
I mean,
what
a special event.
Yeah, I feel like this may live on in some way. But let's see. Also, there is so much theatre news this week. To squeeze this in was really tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But other things to shout about is Sister Act.
Mm-hmm.
So Beverly Knight is going to star as Dolores when Sister Act returns to London at the Eventim Apollo this year. So originally, this was supposed to be Whoopi Goldberg doing it in London.
Yeah.
And they've reimagined the show, made Dolores kind of a slightly older character. And then she couldn't do the new dates.
Got it.
And it's like, who's going to do it? And then, well,
Beverly Knight.
I'll do it.
Yeah. She'll be great.
And then we have Clive Rowe as Eddie, Jennifer Saunders as Mother Superior, Lizzie B as Sister Mary Robert, Keala Settle is doing Sister Mary Patrick. I hope they're going to write a new song for her. Like, what's that? I mean, obviously, she'll be hilarious and wonderful. She'll whatever her bits are, she'll sing it up the octave.
For
like
sure.
She'll slay. And Leslie Joseph as Mary Lazarus. I mean, Beverly Knight is going to sing the hell out of this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's such an amazing voice, and she's just such control over her voice. So it's to see and hear her wail on that, that's going to be fantastic.
Wail.
Yeah.
I don't know how she does it. She is going to. Yeah, you know, Bettina Miller singing that score and like Cynthia Erivo singing that score. Just how can you top that? But Beverly is just going to absolutely smash it.
Oh, she's going to be great.
And Clive Rowe, let us not forget that he can belt as well.
Work.
So buzzing for that. It's going to play at the Eventim Apollo in Hammersmith from the 19th of July. And it's going on tour, and we'll find out who's doing the tour soon as well.
Perfect.
So let's fly through some other theatre news. Kinky Boots is going to receive its first UK revival at the new Wosley and Queen's Hornchurch this autumn. Anushka Lucas, Arthur Darvill, Liza Sadovi, and Marisha Wallace will star in the London transfer of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Young Vic. This is the one I saw it at
The Circle in the Square. I didn't get a chance to see that, but I hear great things about it. So
it's very, well, the Young Vic's a perfect home. It was all kind of in the round. Well, obviously in the round at Circle in the Square, but it was very, it played with lighting and your senses. And
great.
Young Vic, perfect.
Great. And I think Sonia's doing that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Marisha's like back with Sonia.
Yeah.
Freeman. Yeah, it was really exciting.
That's great.
Operation Mincemeat is transferring to Riverside Studios, and fresh from its Olivier Award nominations, Life of Pi has extended its Western run to the 4th of September. And finally, Christian Lavercombe this week celebrated his 2,000th performance in the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh my gosh.
2,000.
God bless him.
What's the longest run in a show you've done?
It was probably Dreamgirls.
Doing 2 years.
But that was 2 years, yeah. But that's not 2,000 shows.
No.
I don't know that I could do it. So my hat's off. That's amazing.
Right, should I tell you what shows that I've seen this week?
Yeah.
So we can hear. Actually, you're qualified to talk about some of these shows, actually.
Okay.
So the first show that I saw was Cop.
Yeah.
Which has come back to the West End. It's premiered at the Royal Court in 2009, written by Mark Bartlett. And it originally had Ben Whishaw, Andrew Scott, and Catherine Parkinson, and Paul Jess in the cast. And I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
So I went totally fresh.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about it. Do you know the concept of it?
Should I
run through it?
Yeah, please.
So it's basically about this guy called John, and he's been in this long relationship with his boyfriend, Em. They've been together for about 7 years. They take a break, and then John starts to have feelings for a woman. They start sleeping together, and he's kind of liking it, and then he doesn't know what to do. He's like, do I get back my boyfriend? Do I keep having sex with this woman? What do I do? So his solution is, oh, I know, I'll have a dinner party and I'll invite them all over. And then Em, my kind of boyfriend I'm on break with, his dad ends up coming along and they all kind of have it out, essentially.
Wow. I love that that's the solution.
I know, that's how you fix things, right? It struck me as it started, it was so sharp, it was so witty. So Jonathan Bailey, he's starring as John, mm-hmm. and he was in Company. He was the character that sings Not Getting Married Today.
He was great in Company.
It was that exact same energy, that like frantic, mad, what's going on, they're having this stressy argument. And that writing really held up and it was really strong. But I'm going to get a little bit controversial, but don't hate me. Obviously, this is a brilliant play, directed by Marion Elliott again. It's brilliant. But I just think, so this production was kind of modern. It had this like steel backdrop. It looks amazing. It's so cool. And like I said, lots of the writing really holds up. But for me, it was this kind of modern setting, having this dinner party to work out who you're going to be with and essentially who you're going to reject as well just seemed cruel. You know, that's kind of a setting, I think, where in an old Alan Ayckbourn play or in... That's kind of what was done. We've seen so many plays with that kind of formula.
Yeah.
But under this circumstance, it felt cruel. It was like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, I felt really sorry for all of the characters in that scenario, which is interesting. But then the whole of the next day, I was like, but is that the point of it? Were they trying to make us feel uncomfortable? Are they trying to make you go away and think awkward thoughts and think, what would you do if you're actually in this world where we can text and phone and Zoom everyone? Actually, what would actually happen if you all sat down and had a conversation?
Sure.
God forbid, because that doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
So that was conflicting. But it's just, for me, we see a lot of gay theatre which shows gay relationships in a negative, as it basically being doom and gloom and not working out. And sometimes it's like, can we see something
nice
where we can just see positive
and
examples
they lived happily ever after.
Of like gay marriage? Yeah, I know. Like, where's my Disney story? And it was also, I think this is telling of its time, written in 2009. It was very like anti bi people.
Oh.
It was very anti, like basically being snobby towards bi,
sure.
Which I think is an attitude that we've really looked at in the last few years.
Sure.
And we're now like, oh, do we need labels? Can people just fall in love with people? Like, a lot
of
people can.
It is funny because it, you know, because we had similar kind of things with Steve.
That's what I was going to say.
And, you feel like the conversations have moved and it feels like they've moved rather quickly.
Yeah.
And so when you do have these kind of topics come up and it just feels dated, and, you know, you don't want to get canceled for something, but at the same time, that is the play. Mm-hmm. So it's a fine line that we walk, I think, with doing older shows now, and how they kind of fit into today's conversation.
Mm. What did you feel? Because obviously, you explored some great, interesting themes in Steve.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like to get those reactions?
So I loved working on Steve, because I, you know, while I do think that there's a bit of doom and gloom in Steve, especially regarding, Stephen with a V and my relationship, mm-hmm. At the end of the play, we wanted, because it's closed now, but we wanted the audience to walk away thinking, oh, so what do you think happened? And who was in the wrong and who was in the right? And I think, you know, similarly to how you were saying, like, the idea of, like, boxes and... I think we're in a time where now we're recognizing that we can define our own rules, and you know, it what is wrong and what is right? Well, that's just perception. And I think we're limited based on our own perception. Of course, we can try and understand other people's, you know, kind of brain frames. But yeah, I think that you come into situations and it's like you can either deal with it on a default level or you can try and take a breath, sit back and try and understand from their point of view and be open to growth or whatever. And that's what I really loved about Steve, because I've been married and I've got kids and, you know, I got to play a gay dad in, you know, going through a separation. And in the end, and I was telling my co-star David Ames about this. I think in my mind, in the beginning, I had kind of decided that I don't think that Steven and Steve ended up together. Even though at the end of the play, you know, we come together and we're, but then as time went on, I thought to myself, no, I'm going to give them hope. I think you're right. I think we do, since, you know, gay marriage has happened and there are more and more gay parents. And I think we have seen so much a boom in LGBTQ theater, which is amazing. And, you know, and with that boom comes a lot of themes to explore. While I will say that I'm kind of glad we're out of the time of, you know, when gay theater really consisted of the AIDS crisis and a lot of, I mean, talk about doom and gloom. And of course, I think it's so important for us to not forget our roots and where we come from. But I think you're right. I think that this idea that we can't have a little bit of a fairy tale, I think we'll get there.
Exactly. And it's also about who is telling these stories and who the creators are.
Sure.
And,
makes
and
such a difference.
That kind of goes beyond cock. That's just exactly what you say. It's brilliant to see more gay stories and LGBTQ plus stories being told. But you know, I saw a play last year, a reading of a play last year at a festival at the Turbine, and that was a two-hander, and it was about gay grief, so about a gay character who had lost his partner, his long-term partner, and dealing with life. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I've never seen a story like this told on stage or from this point of view. And you've got to think, you know, cock is so commercial. Mm-hmm. Sorry, one sentence. Cock, this play, is so commercial. So a lot of people are going to, you know, beyond the gay London bubble, they're going to come and see it. And it's like, well, what are they going to take away from this? So whilst I think it was sharp and it was funny, I actually think some of the things that it was saying, and some saying that maybe it won't work out or it's destined not to be, I don't know. I don't know how positive of representation that is.
Sure.
Anyway, so but that's my take. But what I do really appreciate is that this play gave me so much to think about, and then I was second guessing my own opinions, like I said, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's really interesting. If you want to see Cock, you have until the 4th of June. It's at the Ambassador's Theatre. And the whole cast are really brilliant. Four-hander. It's sharp. It does look great. And the pace is really strong. It's like 1:45 straight through.
Great.
So I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
No, because I've done all these big musicals, and so Steve was only 90 minutes.
Yes.
With no interval. And so I was like, I don't know that I ever want to do anything with an interval again. It's so nice being done by 9.
You just like wander down to the theater, do your show.
No warm up. Yeah, you just show up.
Oh my gosh, you could. What were you doing with your days?
Yeah,
you were living your best life.
Yeah, always.
You went to see Moulin Rouge, right? You saw
Lucy
in Moulin Rouge.
Fantastic.
Tell me what you thought.
Oh, it's funny. I was just with her. I mean, it's Moulin Rouge. It's sexy. It's fun. It's a great night out at the theater. And when you see one of your best friends, like, come down on a swing, and it's just like this ethereal music, and the audience just kind of gasps, and it's just beautiful. Like, I just couldn't breathe. So it was like, I don't know. It was very special. Very, very special.
She is epic.
Yeah.
And
she really
costumes.
Is. Oh my God.
And
yeah.
It's just like a kind of subtle kind of riff that she does in the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, dance.
Yeah.
It's just like,
okay.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moulin Rouge is,
oh, it's fantastic. I highly recommend people go get some drinks and have a wonderful time.
Have a party.
Yeah.
Well, talking of having a party, I went to a piece of gig theatre this week. See, I'm cultured.
You are around.
I am not just this commercial, empty, whatever that people think I am. I could do cool things. So I went to see, basically, Shakespeare's The Tempest has been reimagined by the Pleasance Theatre and Wildcard as a piece of gig theatre. And it's got this cabaret vibes at the Pleasance in Islington. And cabaret tables everywhere. I was kind of like sat in a circle. There's original music. It's all very grimy and raw. And what had happened with this show is they'd supposed to be in previews from the Thursday before. I think Press Night was on Wednesday. But people had COVID. They had to keep cancelling. Yeah. So they only ended up getting one preview before Press Night. Hell. But because of that, I think maybe because of the vibe of the kind of spontaneity of gig theatre and it all being a bit wild, they just made it work. If things were going wrong and things weren't planned on my side, I had no idea.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It started out so serious. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm this little empty boy and here I am. I have no idea what's going on. One of those days where I didn't go, oh, I should probably just Google the plot and just remind myself of what The Tempest is about. I didn't do any of that. I sat there and I was like, this will be a long night. But then I had nothing to worry about because it almost told you that it was one thing, and about 40 minutes into it, you got the lights relief. So Gigi, who I know as creator of the Queen, amazing drag queen, came on as Trinculo, and just was this amazing light relief, and the language changed, it all got very modern. They came on and were like, I thought it was Press Night, not the Press Night.
Oh my God.
And just was running with it, I was running through the audience, stuff was going wrong, you know, it was really funny, and it became really accessible, and you had this kind of crazy rock numbers, people acting musos. It was really impressive. You know, I don't think I've really seen a proper piece of gig theatre for ages. I'm thinking like Here Lies Love, The National was the last kind of crazy immersive show like this that I saw. So it was wild.
Great.
It was great to see something different.
Well, I think
like
it's also good to, you know, the idea of, like you were saying, commercial theatre. I think you can get so sucked into that commercial theater equals theater, and that's not really the case. I'm jealous.
Okay, let's get Joanne Reed to do some gig theater. So,
yeah.
I want you rocking out to like Midsummer's Night Dream.
Yes.
Like, get you to the glow. What were you, when you were growing up, did you study like Shakespeare? And
I did Shakespeare for a little bit in college because that was like one of the courses that we needed to take. and of course, like, we did like Shakespearean monologues in high school and stuff. That's how I got into college. Although I can't remember what I did, but it was a long time ago.
He's gonna do it for us now.
Yeah, exactly. Could you imagine?
Yikes. To be or not to be.
There are a lot of questions.
Okay, I'm open. Anyway, I then redeem myself. Did I say, sorry, The Tempest runs at the Pleasance Theatre until the 3rd of April, and it's fun, it's different, it's exciting. I'm really pleased I saw it. But then I did go and see a kind of nice musical to end the week.
What was it?
I went to see But I'm a Cheerleader at the Turbine
Theatre. How was it?
So brand new musical, and it was lots of fun,
Joe. Oh, good.
It was lots of fun. I had never seen the film. Had you seen the film?
I've seen the film.
So it's the craziest kind of thing ever, isn't it? I mean, building on what I'll say about Cock, it's about this girl and her parents suspect her to be a lesbian, so she gets sent away to this boarding house at this conversion therapy, you know, boarding school essentially, run by this crazy head teacher.
Yes.
And it's absolutely wild, but the whole thing is taking the mic. It's all done with a sarcastic slant, and it is a lot of fun.
Oh, great!
At first, because I hadn't seen the film, I was like, "What is going on?"
Yeah, it's wild.
And then you had Tiffany Graves, who plays the headmistress of the school, and sadly, this is a podcast, you can't see, but every time she walks on stage, you kind of take a little step back, you kind of walk on and take a step back and come forward. Everything was so extra. Her character got just more and more wild. And by act two, I was shrieking, I was whooping, people were looking at me, but I couldn't control myself because she was so outrageous, so outrageously funny. But the entire company were brilliant. It does need work. It's a, you know, obviously it's a brand new musical. It's a big old show, actually. Yeah. So it does need work. But I think they know that, and they put it together in 2 weeks. It was a really quick thing, and they're still working on it, I think, and doing things to it. But there's some really great music. I think maybe a couple of songs could be asked, but the score overall was so strong. Some really great stuff.
Who wrote the music?
Of belting. Oh, you ask great questions. Let me tell you. So, book and lyrics by Bill Augustin, and music by Andrew Abrams.
Okay.
It premiered as part of the Turbine Theatre's festival, MT Fest, that they do.
Got it.
So I think it's their first show to have had that, you know, little like workshop production to then transfer to a full production. I think that's a lot of potential, you know.
Great.
It feels very cult-esque.
Yes. Well, I feel like they're good at doing those types of things.
Yeah.
Right? Heather's?
Heather's was like Other Palace, but say Paul Taylor Mills.
Yeah.
I can see this going to the Other Palace after Heather's.
Sure, like a funnel.
Yeah. And it'll bring in that kind of crazy audience. So it was a lot of fun. I'm really glad I saw it. People like Jodie Jacobs in it, Evie Rose Lane. The cast vocally, one of those shows where everybody had an insane voice.
Great.
And everyone stepped forward one by one eventually and just sang to me. And I was so, that's just what I needed.
It was just for you.
Yeah, I had two, I know it was, Tempest was active music and it was still had like rock songs in, but this was, I'd been starved of proper empty vocals and here I was, everyone was just singing to me and it was stunning and beautiful. And after Cock, where it was like, everything's doom and gloom in gay world, it was like, actually no, it's okay to be gay.
Sure. Which is funny that you got that feeling because they were at a conversion camp. So, well done.
But the kids renamed it Gay Club or
something. Oh, there we go.
Or Gay Cab.
Perfect.
So that was everything. So I'm a cheerleader. The musical is currently booking until the 16th of April at the Turbine Theatre. But I have a feeling that this isn't the end of the road.
All
I have a feeling there'll be more there. Tell me what else you've been up to. What else has been happening? Because last time we spoke, you were hustling. You were like working on a book. You were doing some writing.
Hustling. You know, I've been working on I wrote a feature film, and so I've been kind of working on that throughout the pandemic. And so now I'm kind of trying to get literary representation and kind of get that pushed forward. And, you know, I've been kind of touching base with my connections in that kind of world, so that's been very exciting. And what else? I don't know. I got to sing a little bit on Scott Allen's new album that was primarily, I think, all LGBTQ dads.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so it's a bunch of songs that he wrote for his daughter. And so he wanted an album of just LGBTQ dads. And so I got to be a piece of that, which is quite nice. And, you know, something that I will always have, you know, my kids will always be able to hear that I was on this album, you know. So that was quite exciting. I'm right now my sights are just kind of set on kind of getting back to London. And I've been doing, you know, like since I've been here, I've been doing readings of things and, you know, I think that there are a lot of irons in the fire.
There was one very, we can't talk about it, but there's one very exciting workshop that happens in London that I believe you were part of.
Yeah.
A very exciting show.
Yeah. I don't know that we're allowed to talk about it, you know, openly, but at the same time, it was very exciting and it was a wonderful cast. And it's a show that's, you know, very near and dear to my heart. And so getting to explore that in a new setting with a new group of people and kind of see, you know, how it could work here. And, you know, I think it could be very, very exciting for a lot of people.
Was it coincidence that you happened to be here when that was happening?
Yeah, so they called me and said, we'd love for you to come do this thing, but it's, you know, it's only for a few days. So, if you can't make it over, like we would want you in the show proper. But if you can't make it for this workshop, then that's fine. And it just so happens that I was starting rehearsals for Steve just, you know, I think 3 days after the workshop ended. So and Steve was flying me over here. So I asked the producers of Steve if they would fly me over early. And they flew me over early and put me up. And it worked out beautifully. Yeah.
Listen, if you end up doing that show.
Oh, I'd love it.
You're coming back in here.
Yeah.
And we will do a full hour
of just that.
Because it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry I've been so cryptic.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to see me.
Of course. Thank
so
you for having me.
Squeeze me in while
you're
here.
No, you've always been such a delight. So it's really an honor.
But it's an upgrade because I think first interview we did was on the phone.
Yes.
Then we took us to upper gear. We did a Zoom. And now look at us.
And now here we are.
Lovely little
And
studio.
Next time it's going to be on Good Morning Britain.
Or like in some like nice rehearsal room.
Yeah.
Or in your star dressing room.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get back to
we
that.
We sat on some nice sofas. Yeah. But was it like at the Seven Dials Playhouse? Were you all in it together?
We were all in together. All the guys were in together. And, you know, I hadn't been in a dressing room with other people in a long time. And again, you just don't know what you're going to get. And especially with the 4 out of the 5 guys are identify as gay or LGBTQ+. And with that, you never know what you're going to get when they're all in a dressing room. And I got to tell you, I was so lucky because this cast, the whole company, but the cast especially, they're just dreams. Honestly, like, great to work with on stage, off stage. We had a barrel of laughs. It just was, you know, this was my first play, but it was also my first time being back in a theater performing, you know, since, well, pretty much Dreamgirls. And so to get back together with people in that capacity and laugh as much as we did, it was just so good for the soul.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope more and more theater keeps coming out, and I hope more and more people keep coming to the theater, because it does feel like we've crossed, you know, a turning point here. So it was great, and I look forward to what's coming next.
Good.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yay.
I have something for you.
Uh-oh.
What's it gonna be? Again, you'll definitely add this over the years.
God, I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
It's a cock. No. You said you liked it.
No, I said you were experienced enough to be talking about it.
Commercial cock. Yeah, commercial cock.
What's it gonna
be? Ooh.
Yes. It's your very own.
Oh, it's my very own West End Frame mug. For my coffee, because I'm not a tea drinker. I'm sorry to let everyone know that. I love it. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Thank you so much. It's been lovely to see you.
Of course, likewise.
I hope to see you soon.
Yay.
And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the West End Frame Show. Hit subscribe. Leave us an Apple Podcast rating and review. We love hearing from you. So follow West End Frame on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can check out our interviews podcast, In the Frame. Go back and find Joe Aaron Reed's episode from last year. It's a good one. And this week's guest is the amazing Sherelle J, who was just in The Wiz. She played Dorothy in The Wiz at Hope Mill. And I'll be back next week for another stagey catch-up. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.